Lecrae. Have y'all ever heard of this lame?
He called me a lame off the cuff.
I know some people just hate our dreams and our visions, even our prophecies, but we're not here to play. I believe you have the prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Hold up. I need to know why God gave him a prophetic dream about me.
He belongs to the nothing, period, and simple. He has a lot of women in bondage, and he knows so much concerning sex trafficking.
Man, I'm part of a sex trafficking ring.
The fakest Christian hip-hop artist in America.
This is The Deep End with Lecrae.
Y'all, this is going to be a good one today. Okay, so people often wonder if the stuff said about me is legit. The stuff online. Some people don't wonder. Some people just know. I mean, I don't know how they know, but they know. Maybe the Spirit told them. But there's a lot of things said about me online. And, you know, I mean, what if they're true? What if the most craziest things you could ever imagine said about me are true? Is it time for me to just accept it, acknowledge it? I know some people out there are like, Lecrae, why don't you stop faking us out and just be honest? Stop pretending you really care about the stuff you don't care about and just be straight up. Quit dancing. Quit giving fake answers. Just say it so we can know exactly you are who we always thought you were. Let's see if they're right. Let's see if there's any validity to what they're saying. Because today, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell the truth. And if they're right, I'm not going to fight it. I'm just tired, y'all. Let's see.
Blessings to you guys.
Blessings.
God bless you all.
Yes.
We have something that we want to share with you guys.
Yes, Lecrae. You know what? We're doing this video because when I see it and watch it, he's being manipulative. But I remember some years back, we did a prophetic dream about Lecrae. Yeah. I wish y'all would go back and watch it.
Okay.
Because God revealed some deep secrets about Lecrae in the prophetic dream. I believe you had the prophetic dream.
Yeah.
It was deep. And even my mouth was wowed.
Hold up. I need to know why God gave him a prophetic dream about me. Okay, it's fine. I didn't know. That's crazy. I'm the subject of his prophetic dream. It's crazy. All right, I'm sorry.
I know some people just hate our dreams and our visions, even our prophecies, but we're not here to play. Damn! And we're not here to be liked.
And at some point, they will still come back and believe it.
Yeah, they will.
Because God is not playing.
You know, I just give all honor to God. Yeah. I give all honor to God. Because even the dreams and visions that God give us, we place them. And when they come to pass, we'll be like, okay, my God, I cannot believe this. This is crazy. Yeah. You know? But let's listen to this. I guess it was an interview of Lecrae talking. But he was, he was basically exposing himself. But yeah. I know you probably are taking a different way, but I'm going to take it my way.
Yeah.
He exposed himself.
Yeah. Mm. Let's watch it.
I wasn't even going to say nothing about this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been to a couple Diddy parties. Do we need to slow that down? I'm risking a lot by saying this because I know as soon as I say that, all the assumptions are going to come in and and if I don't say evil things were taking place, then I'm covering for them. And if I do say evil things were taking place, then I'm one of them ones like, yeah, Lecrae, expose it. You know what I'm saying? And I've been to lots of parties. I've been to Jamie Foxx. I've been with Snoop, T.I. Like, I've been to lots of places. The music is crazy. Here's what I'll say.
When somebody is talking like this, you already know where they're going with it.
Do you know where they're going with it? If you don't let them go there? I don't know. How do we know where they're going? I don't know. But I'm sorry. let me see if they're on point. Let's see. All right, so this thing right here is an album. I know it. You may not know what an album is. It's like a thing that plays records. A record, in order to listen to it, you have to flip it over to hear both sides of it. Now, generally, the A side of the record is all the commercial hits, all the stuff that everybody knows. The B side is like the deep cuts, the stuff that most people don't get to hear, the stuff that's like, whoa, it can be extra creative, it can be extra experimental. But y'all, there's a B side to our worlds, to our lives, that most people don't get access to, that most people don't talk about, that most people don't wrestle with publicly, but we wanna do that. And that's what the B-Side app is. It's a place where we're gonna wrestle with the things that generally are not seen in public. We're gonna talk about things that maybe you wouldn't want anybody else to know you wrestle with, but this is a safe place. The B-Side is a safe place to talk about the things that, you know, are on the other side of the record.
You already know what they're trying to manipulate. Make you to see yourself like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Like you crazy out here saying all this, or maybe God, who has been showing you how evil this kingdom, this Illuminati or this elite, you know, he just trying to let you know, touch, you know, belittle you in your thought and also in what God has given unto you. That's exactly what he's trying to make some people, because there's a lot of gullible members out here, baby Christians, that can hear this and run with it right away. Mm-hmm. You know, they know how to stop their words. They are very intelligent in their words, like Lovi, Java, a lot of them, T.D. Jakes. They know how use their words carefully, but at the same time, deceiving the masses. Mm. See how he came in with it? Now he want to just tell people more lies.
That's all he's doing.
There are people who will test you. There are people who will see how far your limits are. And if you're willing to take a step, then they'll take two. I, in my personal experience, never saw anything where someone was like, you can't move any further unless you do X, Y, or Z. But what I did see was, if you do X, Y, or Z, well, keep coming, because you're, you know, and that's how we all are. It's Psalm 1, right? He said,
do you hear that? This is the worst thing that a lot of preachers do. Mm-hmm. They know the truth. Mm-hmm. They know that they're manipulating you. Mm-hmm. They know that they're deceiving you. Mm-hmm. But they will have to use some indirect ways to keep on trapping you, making you believe that, there is nothing like evil out here. There is nothing like somebody selling their souls to devil. Oh, this is all just wrapped up. This is all just makeup words.
Here's the crazy part. I actually agree with him on a lot of this. That's the crazy part. I don't agree with him about me, but I do agree that oftentimes people whose motive is to manipulate you is to use the truth in order to tell you a bigger lie. I mean, that's what Satan does. You know, he says, did God really say? He didn't say. Like, Satan will use truth in order to convince you of a greater lie. I think in this context, now what I feel like is happening here is this guy already got it out bad for me. So it doesn't really matter what I say. It's like, I'm convinced you are wrong. So if I say, hey man, I just think God is good. Don't you try to tell me God is good, you manipulator. I see what you're doing. What am I doing? I'm telling you God is good. I see you, God is good, two times. That's Illuminati tactics. I don't, listen. What I did here, now, being honest, I feel like I probably did too much telling people that I went to Diddy's party. What I was trying to do was like throw myself out there and be like, hey, I'm human. First of all, the party was like 8 years ago. So I ain't been since. This is 8 years ago. Second of all, it wasn't one of those parties. Okay, like this is one of the ones open to the public. Like media's there. Like, everybody's there. So it wasn't like, oh, this is some secret Illuminati event. But I can see how somebody may take it that if you don't know much about the context. I mean, I don't, God gave you a prophecy about me. I don't, listen, I don't know what he said. My life's kind of boring at this juncture. I go to the studio, I record podcasts, I read my Bible, I do shows, and I go home to my family. It's not really that. I mean, there's no sacrificing animals and drinking blood in order to win a Grammy. None of that stuff is happening. I mean, it never has, but that's just kind of crazy, like how they're just sure. And then they play clips from my own podcast. I'm the one that said it. Like, I told you. And then I said, hey, I've never seen anything crazy take place, but I have seen people say, hey, if you want to do drugs, you know, they'll approach you with it. If you about this drug life, then come on. And if you go, then that opens the door for more things and then more things. I never took the first step. So I never got privy to what comes after that. I just, you know, it again, I should have just kept it to myself. I don't think it was helpful for me to even tell people that. It was 8 years ago, different time period in my life, a lot of different stuff going on. The problem with prophecies, the problem with like the Rhema is you can't argue against it because like only he has access to what God told him. I can't use the scripture against this word. If God said, you are supposed to marry me, what am I supposed to do? How do I argue? God said, you're my wife. Well, how do I argue with that? What am I supposed to say? God didn't tell me. Like, I can't. Well, no, according to Romans, it's like, no, you can't argue with God. He said it in my dream. It got to be true. And it's just like, you know, in the biblical times, if that prophecy didn't come forward, you got stoned. So people were not just quick to throw out prophecies because you would die for false prophecies. So I don't know, like, I can't, how do you argue with somebody who had a dream about me? And how do you argue with somebody who's just already bent on misunderstanding me from the get-go? But I do agree, like, there's a lot of pastors out there. He named some names that I was like, I've seen the manipulative tactics of some of those folks. I would not consider myself those folks. I don't stand to gain anything by, like, I don't take tithes and offerings. And it really wouldn't be helpful for me to, like, if I'm trying to manipulate people out of their money, I wouldn't be helpful for me to say things that are counterintuitive to them wanting to support me. Like, people are not excited about me saying I went to a Diddy party. That kind of makes you lose support, not gain it. But I was just trying to be transparent. I was trying to be open. I was trying to welcome people in. So I'm sorry. I won't do it no more. I'll just be quiet. Being vulnerable gets me in trouble. Let me shut up.
Praise Master Jesus. God is a good God. God is awesome God, yo.
Yes, he is.
But on a serious note.
Yes.
When God begin to speak, when God begin to expose, we always listen and pay attention for what God is saying. Remember, in the scripture, it said, when I say it, write them down. Mm-hmm. You know what God is saying. Yes. And a lot of times, people want to know God's voice, hear God's voice. It's very important so you can also hear God for yourself.
Amen. Amen. And obviously, you see the title. It's about Lecrae. If you don't know Lecrae, he is a gospel rapper. To me, this video is a long time coming. We should have did this video a long time ago, but I'm glad we waited because God began to share a prophecy, a word concerning Lecrae. Mm. But as for me, I always wanted to warn people not to listen to him. He's not of God. I personally know this is because I have a close, real close family member who went to college with him in UNT. And I know how he started. And the way he started was not of God. But the Lord began to share some things to my husband. And we have to put this video out here to expose the enemy, darkness. To expose the dark kingdom. So let me.
He belongs to Illuminati, period and simple. He belongs to Illuminati. And he has a lot of women in bondage.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
What I had was he's hospitalizing a lot of women. In other means, he has a lot of women in bondage, and he knows so much concerning sex trafficking. very easy and simple. He knows about this very well, and he is using, manipulating a lot of Christians that believe in what he is doing or what he's ministering out there, but it's not of God. It's very highly, highly deceiving and demonic, and a lot of people are being held up with that platform of this guy. And also, he goes around with major ministers. These major ministers, like mega churches, and they know each other, and there is a great connection between him and TD Jakes. They know each other, and I was like, are they like family member or friends or whatsoever? But the only thing that I heard was they know each other. They're very close.
Yo, man. Yo, I gotta stop it. I gotta stop it, cause hold up. There's so much to talk about. I don't even, Lord, help me. Help me, God. Okay. Wait a minute. First of all, I mean, if you feel like I'm part Illuminati, okay, that's one thing. But now I'm part of a whole trafficking ring. As we getting out of control. Like, let's talk first of all, you knew someone who went to school with me and figured out how I started was not of God. I didn't start in school. I was in school. My career wasn't started. I graduated and got a job. My career in school, your friend, if she knew me, she probably knew a heathen. If I'm being honest, I can tell you that for sure. She probably knew a heathen. Somebody who just got saved, maybe flip-flopped a little bit, but yeah, my career didn't start when I was in college. So I don't know where she got her information from. And I actually live in Atlanta with about 40 people who I went to school with. We all call it the Texodus. We just came to Texas from Texas to Atlanta together to do ministry. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I guess we all part of this Illuminati ring, so maybe that's what it is. Now, the Illuminati, I just want to know what this is the worst part, because if I say if I say I don't believe in it, or I want to know what it is, because I never heard of it, then everyone just says, see, you're covering for it. So it's no room for me. Either I say, yes, you're right, or I say, no, I'm not, but it doesn't matter, because if I say I'm not, you're going to say, you're a liar, you're covering, because God gave you a dream. He gave you a prophetic dream. He gave you a prophetic dream, which is so crazy that I think you need help. I think you're off the meds. I think you need to get yourself checked. He gave you a prophetic dream. I'm almost scared to show this video, because some of the people I grew up from the East Side Skyline Piru Bloods may be looking for you for saying I'm a part of this trafficking ring. They may want to pull up on you like, hey, homie, hey, what's that you said about my cousin, bro? Like, this is bad, y'all. Like, this is so bad. It's bad. Like, oh my gosh. Here's the other crazy part. I ain't never met TD Jakes. I'd like to meet him. I ain't never met the man. I've been to his church before. I ain't never shook his hand. I ain't never met the bishop. So we can't be good friends. I ain't never met him. He ain't called me. He ain't text me. I ain't never met him. I'm actually kind of flattered that he think I'm so popping that I belong in the Illuminati. Like, apparently in his mind, I'm so popping. I hang out with Jakes and I'm in Illuminati. I be at carpool, bro. I'd be at carpool picking up my son. I don't think TDJ's probably got a helicopter to pick up his kids from carpool. I am not in that tax bracket. Me and Jakes ain't in the same. Now, I got some awards. I'm doing fine. God has blessed me. But I live in a neighborhood that ain't even gated. I shouldn't have said that. I don't want nobody pulling up on me. I don't pull up on me. But I got artillery. So be careful. All right, this is deep. Like, this is deep, man. Like, this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. This is why, if he was my neighbor, he came to my small group, he would just come to my small group and be like, this is a lie. If he saw me lead somebody to Christ, he'd be like, I don't know how you perform this magic. Honestly, I get it, Jesus. I get how you was performing miracles and they said you did it by the works of demons. I get it. Because that's what this is. This man, this is crazy. This is crazy. I was going to get on his head and I was going to show him another side of me, but I ain't going to do that. Because you know what? I'm going to love this. As a matter of fact, Henry and Monica, Lord, we pray for them. We pray, God, that you would just reveal truth to them, open up their eyes, allow them to see that a kingdom divided can't stand. I should not be preaching the name of Jesus if I'm part of this Illuminati club. This is wild. I didn't even notice the internet. Some people do not need access to internet. Like, y'all need it. I pray to God that that internet cable bill gets cut off. I pray, Lord, that you just would allow they bill to lapse and they can just, they don't, some people don't need to be on camera. This is bad. Y'all do not need the internet. This is, I don't even have, my kids can't even use social media. And this is why. I'm going to show them this video so they know why I don't want them to have social media. Because this is what you become. This is what happens to you. This is bad. All right. I got to move on. Good God. Good God. So bad. That was bad. All right. Jeez Louise. Man, I'm part of a sex trafficking ring. What is happening? So bad. People gonna run with that. All right. Next.
I was scrolling through the Twitters and this guy popped up. Y'all, have y'all ever heard of this lame?
He called me a lame Lecrae. Off the cuff.
The fakest Christian hip hop artist in America. Lecrae on here. And I saw that my boy Bryson wrote a comment to Lecrae because Lecrae said, and I quote, from his Instagram, feels good to be on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. My boy Bryson said, but you're on the wrong side of Christ. Feels good to be on the right side of history, although you're on the wrong side of Christ. This is the conundrum.
Let me just, before he keeps going, underneath that, now, mind you, a lot of people took that in a whole different context. What I said after that was the right side of history is the anti-racism, pro-life, from the womb to the tomb, care for the disenfranchised, and some anti-Christian nationalism, anti-abuse of power side. What I was articulating is, now, here's what I will say about this season. Nah, I'm gonna let him keep going. He didn't read the whole tweet, though. That's all I'm gonna say.
Of the church and the black church in America. This is what most people believe. They'd rather be on the right side of history than be on the right side of God. And why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Why is it he's not on the right side of God? Because he just believed differently than you. If you notice, I wrote a response to him in the comment section. And let's see if it pops up. I wrote a response to him in the comment section, which is right here. And I put wrong side of Christ, supporting pro-abortion, pro-gay, pro-anti-Christian policies. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the policy. You should be ashamed of yourself, but you ain't. You will be the first one to take the mark of the beast as long as it makes you feel like you are in the culture. Lecrae will do anything to be hip and in the culture. People like this don't love God more than they love themselves, more than they love popularity, more than they love the world. The Bible says, be ye separated. These people don't want to be separated. They want to have the same shine as rappers in the world, but since they couldn't make it in the world, they'll do it on the Christian gospel music, gospel rap, or whatever they call it.
Whatever Christian they rap. Call it.
But they really want to be like the rappers. But they couldn't make it like the rappers, so they did that thing in the Christian realm.
It's too much assumption. Just way too much assumption. So much. Like, it's a lot of assumption. The first assumption is that I am craving to be accepted by the mainstream. Why didn't I just go mainstream? I chose to be a Christian rapper. It wasn't like I couldn't make it. I literally got saved and decided to rap for Jesus. I never made a demo and sent it to Def Jam or Sony. I literally, from the grassroots, before anybody cared, was rapping about Jesus. Like concerts with 40 people in there. Like, that's all I wanted to do. Like, rap for Jesus. Like, there was never a different alternative path. It was not the backup plan because I didn't make it as a mainstream rapper. Matter of fact, the antithesis actually happened. When I started recording my debut album, people from, you know, like Paul Wall and Chameleonaire's camp were like, yo, you sure you don't want to rap mainstream? Because I think you would be dope. And that was like a battery in my back. Like, no, I'm for Jesus. I'm sold out. Like, it's never, that's so much assumption that I would just be doing this so that I could be popping. Now, there's absolutely times where you want to be recognized in those spaces and places as a human being. Like, that's a human struggle. But that's why my mantra, my motto is, if you live for their acceptance, you die from their rejection, is me constantly saying, you know, to be unashamed of Jesus, because to be unashamed means to be set apart. Like, it's tattooed, 116. It's like one of my first tattoos. Like, I just, there's, my man didn't do his research. He didn't do his Googles when he got on the Twitters, as he proclaims. You can't be on the Twitters if you don't do your Googles, my friend. Do your Googles before you get on the Twitters. The other thing is, listen, here's one thing I'll say. What I had to learn in this season, and again, he's very politically charged. I'm not a politics guy. And I think people in that season of my life took me to be a politics guy because I was very anti-racism, very just anti-dog whistling to speak nonsense against disenfranchised people. Now, one of the mistakes I made was believing that transformation was going to happen through policy. And I was no different than the Christians, the followers of God who screamed Hosanna as Jesus came. They thought he was going to be their political savior. He did not come to be the political savior. He came to be a savior in a different kind of way. He did not come to save the empire. He came to present the kingdom. Where I dropped the ball in this season of my life, this is like years ago, was believing that some kind of way someone within the empire could make the changes that only Jesus can make, right? So no, I'm no longer like leaning on political ideologies to transform the world. Now, that's not to say politics don't matter. It's just to say that you'll never catch me in a fight over one political side of the aisle because I don't think either one of them can accomplish what Jesus can. God doesn't take sides, he takes over. And that's my philosophy moving forward. I think a lot of people, specifically conservative Republicans, because some of the issues that I had did not fit within their agenda, they said, oh, you're becoming a liberal or whatever. You know, the truth of the matter is there are conservative policies and liberal policies that are just robbed from the Bible. They're biblical, right? Like caring for the poor, they say, oh, that's a leftist policy. Believing about the sanctity of life and wanting lives to not be, unborn lives to be saved is not a political ideology, it's biblical. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Y'all can't just borrow from the Bible and say, because you borrowed an ideology from the scriptures that your political party is now the bee's knees. It's the one that matters the most. I don't subscribe to that. So I'm not getting in that culture war. I'm out of that. You can have it. You want the empire, take it. I want the kingdom. What I will say is, I don't know this guy, but what I've heard, and I've seen a debate, is that he does not believe that Jesus is deity. So, you know, I've seen a debate with him and someone else where he argues against Jesus being God. And as far as I'm concerned, that kind of eliminates you from calling me someone who's on the wrong side of Christ. If Christ is not God to you, then who is he? Just a moral man. And Christ is, he's not, he didn't get involved in politics either. If he was going to be political, he would have came and overthrew the Roman government. Like, all right, y'all, I did it. You guys are free. That's not the way he did it. As a matter of fact, he paid his taxes. It's crazy. So, hey, man, don't worry. You'll never have to worry about disagreeing with me politically ever, because y'all can have that war. I don't want no parts of it. Not to say I won't care about the civic responsibilities of cities in our country. Not to say I'm not grateful for the leadership in our local and state and federal government. But at the end of the day, the empire is going to crumble. I'm not going to fight for that. Like, it's going to crumble one day. The kingdom lasts forever. So nobody in heaven is like, dang it, man. Come on, Rome. Get it together. We were an empire once upon a time. Come on, Egypt. Rise again. Come on, man. They're not in heaven like wishing that the empire rose again. Come on, Britain. Be the nation you once were. They're not. They're in heaven. They're like, I don't care. This is on earth as it is in heaven. That's it. Part of the reason why I decided to do this podcast is because people just don't wrestle with the gray areas. They don't wrestle with the nuances. And a wise person told me recently that nuance is made for community. And so trying to navigate nuance topics and conversations is really kind of difficult outside of community, because you can't be clumsy online, right? There's no room to be clumsy here, to make mistakes, because no one is going to love you and understand. Everyone's just going to make snap judgments. My white friends were able to be very clumsy with me in conversing about race and ethnicity, because they knew I loved them. And they knew no matter what they said, I was going to be there to help them process and navigate that. And they could come back the next day and wrestle and process. And there was no judgment. They could wrestle with the nuance of things. And it was fine. My single friends can wrestle with marriage and what it means to be single and why they don't like it. My non-believer friends can wrestle clumsily with why they don't think God is real or why they struggle with Christianity, because they know I'm going to be there. They know I'm not going anywhere. I'm not here to judge them. And I'm really making myself extremely vulnerable in front of the world. And sometimes I do wonder, is that the best and wisest thing? Because people are not going to wrestle with me. They're not going to say, well, I'm going to still stand by you. I stand to lose a lot, just being honest. And I guess in this season of my life, I've felt like, man, I've gained more than I could ever deserve. And so if I can help somebody process, I'm here for it. I'm a work in process. So even the things that I'm talking about are things that, shoot, I may grow in some other ways and see them from some other vantage points as I grow and mature. But I see y'all as family. I see y'all as a community. The people who subscribe and tune in on a regular basis, y'all are wrestling with me, and we're wrestling together. The people that I'm responding to in the comments, we're talking and we're wrestling, and you feel seen. And that's what I'm here for. I'm really not here for people who want to make snap judgments and who want to say, I knew it, you know, or you had a prophecy about me and I'm evil. I'm here for the people who are like, okay, I hear your perspective. This is challenging. This is helpful. What about this? Or here's what I've been thinking. And I think that's helpful. Every mentor that I've ever had was allowed to be human. They were allowed to be human, and you know, they've come back to me on certain things and said, hey, you know what? I think I was wrong on this. Here's what I'm thinking now. And that's great. And I'm appreciative for them for that. I'm that as a father. if you never have to apologize, there's something wrong with you, because you're human and you're fallible and you're fallen and you're broken. And if you can't admit you're broken, then you're functioning in pride. And I never want to be that person. I've been broken so much, y'all, that I don't know if the public can crush me. You know what I'm saying? I've experienced such real life brokenness. I don't know if the snap judgments of people online, I just, the joy in seeing people come up to me saying, man, thank you for the deep end, my life has changed, far outweighs the negative stuff that I've seen online. And, you know, that's going to be my struggle for life, is acceptance, because I'm a kid whose dad, you know, abandoned him. I'm a kid who felt neglected by certain people in my family. So there's always going to be a desire to want to be accepted. But I've grown through therapy, through friendships, through relationships, to know I'm loved and accepted by God, and I have a real integrated community who loves and accepts me. And some of y'all out there don't have that, right? You know God loves you and accepts you, or you're wrestling with it, but you may not have a community that you're integrated with that loves you and you know they're there. I want you to have that. And I guess in some ways I'm an interim. Like, I'm a voice to let you know you're not alone in this season as you're looking for community. We're all exiles, man. You know, we're all exiles. And so being vulnerable is a struggle if you know you're going to be cut down, if you feel like it's going to rob you of your security. And I think part of the reason why I'm vulnerable online, another part of it, is because it personally sanctifies me. It personally reminds me my security is not in the acceptance of people, but it's God. My security is God. He's going to take care of me. I don't want to be unwise. I don't want to say things that would just cause the whole world to turn their back on me and my kids and my family. But I, at the same time, don't want to be so worried about everyone accepting and loving me that I'm not my authentic self. And so the real me went to a Jamie Foxx party and can say I did that. And I don't know if that was wise to share, but that was the real me. The real me loved Jesus and walked in there and was trying to figure out how to be a light with my friends. But then there's another side of me that was like, yes, look, people know who I am in here, and that's cool. And I can be honest about that internal battle. And maybe that's sharing too much with you. Maybe you just want me to be perfect and not have flaws like a real human being. Maybe you want me to be a manipulator because I'm owning my flaws in public and I'm talking about my humanity. And, you know, for you to see a chink in my armor means that something has got to be wrong. Maybe, you know, I shouldn't talk about all the things that I talk about sexuality and all the things that can get you canceled in society. But I mean, I just don't believe you can cancel God's plans. I don't believe you can cancel people that God has already said are sealed with the seal of promise, the Spirit of God, that who are accepted by the Creator universe. I mean, I have to be reminded that my hope is in Him and not in the opinions of others. Then I have to be reminded of Christ. When I think about Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, or disregarding the shame. Like, He had to look at the joy that was set before Him to do that shameful thing, right? To be the creator of the universe and then have His creations nail Him on a cross, but not just nail Him, like humiliate Him, rip His beard out, beat Him, mock Him, and strip Him naked, right? Like, He was naked on that cross, which is an embarrassment, but He was willing to endure that because He had a joy set before Him. The joy set before me is the liberation and freedom of people who battle vulnerability, battle nuance, battle being their authentic selves. And I'm not telling you to bear that cross. Not yours to bear. But it's what I feel like God has challenged me to do in this season of my life. And so I have been canceled a million times. I've been misunderstood 1,000 times. And someone will find a way to do it again. Someone will find a way to misconstrue everything I'm saying today. But if someone else is radically encouraged and is a better picture of a follower of Jesus, it's worth it. Everybody wants us to be real, right? And you get championed for being real until that, like they say, keeping it real goes wrong. It's like everyone wants authenticity and we don't want fake celebrities. And, you know, I think about Beyonce, right? Regardless of your perspective of Beyonce, there's a very large swath of the population that feels like, you know, she's mysterious and, you know, she is iconic and she hasn't consistently just been like, here, let me share everything about myself. You know, that's not, she does it in doses, but she hasn't done that all the time. And I think that's because she's fully aware of how people will devour you. And there's some sense of like God-like nature, you know what I mean? When you don't show them your humanity. And I don't want to be worshiped. I don't, but showing your humanity is what people say they want. But then when you give it to them, they tear you down. It's like we build our heroes up just to tear them off the pedestal. And that's a very difficult thing. That is why our mental health crisis is where it is, because we are building ourselves up on social media and people are tearing us down. I mean, and we're listening to these voices who don't love us, who don't care about us. And we're allowing them to dictate our self-worth and our value and our identity. And it's a hard thing, man. It's like, you know, we become memes. Like real moments become memes. It's really unsettling, right? It's like, and I'm not saying I'm innocent, right? Because I've used the Tyrese, like, what more do you want from me meme? He's crying. But he was having a real moment. Now, would I have taken that to social media? Probably not. But at the end of the day, it was still a real moment. And people are giving us their real selves and we mock them and we call them fake, or we make them look like they're not humans. And there's a human on the other side of that. Like there's a real person who has the same emotions that you have on the other side of that. I do not like being called a trafficking ringleader. Like my real emotions dislike that very much. As a human, there's just another side of me that has to realize these people don't think I'm human in some senses. They think I'm otherworldly. They think because I am lifted up in front of the world on stages and screens that I am just an object and I'm being objectified, right? It's objectifying people. It's when you can hurl arrows at them. You have objectified them and made them less than human. Now, to be fair, some celebrities make themselves more than human. And so society wants to pull them down a few notches off that ladder. You're human, buddy. And that's why we want to see you fall, because you don't think you're human. You think you're better than us. I don't. Matter of fact, I just want you to know I don't. And that's why I'm being very transparent and vulnerable. And oftentimes it is taken advantage of. And so what do we do? Do we stop? Or I think the healthy thing, if I'm being honest, the healthy thing is to be vulnerable in community. Like, I don't think the world needs every ounce of your vulnerability. I don't think you need to tweet all the things that are going wrong with you. I don't, because they don't know what to do with that. Like, you're giving people a level of vulnerability they don't deserve. Stop. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They're not there to support you. You're giving them something they don't deserve. They're going to mishandle you. It's like dating a walking red flag. Don't. What I'm doing, and there's even areas where I'm learning and growing, but what I'm doing is I realize I have a platform. I realize I am seen publicly. And so I'm dismantling myself in front of people for their sake. That's it. And is it the wisest thing? Time will tell. Time will tell.